Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Talking Heads Review Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be covering two shows. So we're going to be covering Joey Diaz, the Uncle Joey's Joint Podcast, episode 235, and then the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast, episode 557, excuse me. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to the Talking Heads podcast. In this show, we take great snips from other shows, shine a bit of light, add a bit of context, and always add some humor. We are not affiliated with any of the shows mentioned in the podcast. However, if you are interested in the shows discussed, you can easily find them by going to the link in the podcast. And now, to the show.
And the real world is not an idea. It is not words. Reality is...
Hey guys, welcome to another episode. I am Sean, joined by my co-host, Adam, as always.
What's happening?
So we're going to start with the Duncan Trussell podcast. So this is episode 557. He talks to a monk, Buddhist monk named, how do you say this? He says it in the show. I think it's Tejo. And she's a beautiful person, and they have a really great conversation. So apparently he got an internship working at a temple in Japan with Tejo.
He would.
Yeah. That'd be so cool.
So nuts. Like, wait, was like 20 years ago?
No, I don't think it was that long ago. It sounded like it was pretty recently, actually.
Oh, I thought it was something he did when he was younger.
No, I don't think it was that long ago.
Okay.
I don't think it was that long ago. At least the way he talks about it doesn't sound like it was that long ago. But I mean, that would be so cool. I would you do that if you could? I don't know how long the internship is, but do you think you have the discipline to be able to do that? Because I honestly don't know if I do.
I guess it would be more about what else I had going on.
Yeah.
Like if I had the space and, you know, people around me supported it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's tough when you got a girlfriend to be like, going to work with a Buddhist person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, especially if you have kids, like, I don't know how long that kind of thing is. But I mean, he did it when he had like a wife and everything. So,
yeah,
which he brought that up as well, which was hilarious. He like had an argument with his wife and his wife was like, oh, wow, you're so enlightened now. But, yeah, so he got a job working at the temple, and he was talking about cleaning the floors. Like, the way that they clean the floors was, like, the most efficient way to do it of all time. And he learned so much just from cleaning the floors, he said.
Hmm. You would imagine that they would have a lot of, like, wax on, wax off kind of Karate Kid theory with like, how to gain enlightenment. And it wouldn't be the way that you think. They'd be like, go out and tend the tomato plants and be there for 3 hours. And while you're just like bored and drifting off, thinking and staring into space and doing whatever you would do given some mundane job, afterwards they'd have some brilliant revelation of like why that was so important. And you're like, holy shit, that actually was pretty good.
Yeah. I bet it's not, like, I don't know. He talks about it in the show, but I bet it's, you don't come to any realizations from, like, reading things or, like, there's no, he says there's no data. But, I mean, it's so true. It's like, you know, a lot of the time you're just sitting and meditating with your own self and, you know, you're really not doing anything. And it's like through that you gain knowledge of how the world works in some way.
It sounds hard.
Yeah. There's actually a clip. So we're going to try something new with the show. We're going to start putting in clips from the shows that we're discussing, just like short little clips, just to add some context. So we've got one of the clips from Duncan's show where he talks about his time with the monk.
At some point, I remember becoming very frustrated because you were not giving me what I wanted. No books. Where is the data? And I finally said to you, aren't you going to give me a book or something? Like, isn't there something I should read or study here? And you said, what was the Buddha doing when he gained realization? And I thought about it for a second. I was like, right, he was meditating. And I've carried that with me through my whole life. The sitting part, the meditation part, Tejo, that's very difficult for me. Very difficult. And I would love to talk to you a little bit about that. The resistance, why is it hard?
You know, I still have resistance. I talk about that all the time. And why? I don't know why. So, yeah, I don't know why the resistance, but I do know that one thing that I have discovered is that when we take one step beyond the resistance, that's awakening. Because letting go is awakening.
The term awakening, you know, I'm sure you know how it is. Over time, you know, you hear these words over and over again. And you hear them initially, and they somehow make sense. Awakening, that sounds good. But what are we awakening from? What is the thing we're waking up from?
Our own delusion.
Our own delusion.
Yeah, they talk a lot about that in the show. And it's so true, though. One thing I want to say is I love the way Duncan approaches conversations, especially with people who are, like, clearly in a different thinking class of him. Like, you know, people who are just such involved in their industry that they're just such a master at it. And he has a really wonderful way of asking the right kind of questions to, like, kind of put it in the perspective of the everyday person, you know?
Like, yeah, he's an excellent interviewer. He has a lot of almost what Rogan does, but with Duncan's style.
Yeah.
He's so much softer and open and kind of vulnerable in that sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get so much of that from Rogan, though he's very inquisitive. But it's, you can tell that those two have been good friends a very long time.
Oh,
and
yeah,
grown in their own understanding of the podcast. His questions are always brilliant too. And Duncan would just bring up a really kind of, like, embarrassing, slightly painful story. He's got no problem just being like, I'm an addict, I get scared, I worry about this, I'm holding on to that too hard. Like, it just seems like very little ego with this guy.
Yeah, and it's nice too because it makes it so relatable. And, you know, regardless of how successful he is in his own right or everything, it still sounds like he's just, like, you know, your friend. And he's just, like, another fellow human just going about his crazy experience. Mm-hmm. And he's so able to admit his vulnerabilities and his desires and stuff. I think Russell Brand is really similar in that way as well.
Yeah,
he does that really well. And I think as well, I guess to compare to Russell Brand, they both are so they have such an amazing ability to just make fun of everything, and not in a bad way. I mean, like, to present ideas and ask questions and talk about
and bring
concepts.
Them back to being silly.
Yeah, and make them a little bit more silly and approachable, and it's just a much more engaging way of having a conversation, I think.
It's almost like they're preaching something without being preachy.
Yeah.
Russell and Duncan do that very well.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and it's nice too, because you know, some of these conversations you have, I mean, especially some of the stuff with Duncan, you can go so deep into some rabbit hole where you're just like, I am kind of lost. And then he'll like say a joke or something and you're like, oh yeah, we bring it back down a little bit, and then you can kind of reapproach it and stuff. And
one of the best stories I ever heard about Duncan, and I'd like to know how kind of connected and thought-provoking, kind of universe expanding, multiple life, you know, reincarnation energy he's had, like for how long. But I guess maybe in their like mid-20s, Duncan went through a tough time. And I don't know what it was. He like lost the place that he was renting and just had real money issues. And Rogan and them kind of, you know, I don't think they started comedy together, but they knew each other in comedy young, and they were close. And Rogan said, hey, just come live with me. And he had like some house in Malibu. You know, he was making good money from news radio. And he also had his float tank in his basement.
Oh, yeah.
And Duncan stayed with him, and Joe suggested using it. Like, hey, you're going through a tough time. I get a lot of, you know, clarity from using this. You should try it out. And Rogan said, fair play to him. He used it every day for many, many hours. Yeah. And would journal through it, and was in some ways like not a changed man, but like felt so much better about his future because of it. That's and it's so a really cool story of their friendship.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Joe was doing very well then. He could be like, oh, dude, you know, you're being a loser. You can't stay in my house, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not his style. And it's just cool because you would never think that those two were that close.
Yeah.
It's easy to just assume from how somebody looks, you know, or even some way how they talk, and be like, they wouldn't get on that well.
Yeah.
And they are as close as it gets.
They're such a great duo, and I look forward to every time they do podcasts together. The recent one that they did was just hilarious.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Yeah, man. Duncan and Rogan, that's like peanut butter and jelly right there. Like, mm-hmm. They just work so well together. And they're so cool by themselves as well. Like, I love Duncan's podcast, and he has such great clips and conversations with some of the coolest people ever.
And it's a very different vibe.
It is,
They're not two of the same things.
Yeah.
But they often go, you know, I think Rogan used to do this a lot more, like go into the psychedelic aspect
the
of conversation,
stuff, yeah.
You know, a bit more. But Duncan can't stay away from it.
Yeah.
He really can't bring it all back to like life and death and the meaning of the universe and what we're doing here. Let's talk a little bit about the letting go portion of this. I found that very interesting. He gave the example of the dream.
Yep.
You know, and there's been times in my life where I've had a hard time, really hard time under stress of letting go. You're just holding on to it so much. And he described it as like the idea of letting go is almost like you're going to die. Like that's how hard you hold on to whatever idea or want or need you have. Think of like all through your age of growing up, you know, your first crush, you're like, I love her so much, I have to marry her.
Yeah,
there's no way I can just allow her to not be interested in me. And it's like your world falls apart. But there's lots of those examples. Jobs do it, you know. Maybe you've done too many mushrooms and you're having one of those moments where you're just kind of holding on to the fabric of the universe instead of just being like, just take me.
Yeah.
But there is this feeling, like it's a fear. It's like, without this, I can't survive. But then he gave the example of the dream. And he's like, in a dream, maybe you're being chased by a lion, or it's some sort of anxiety is in the dream and you just want it to change. And then, boom, you realize you're dreaming.
It's a dream. Yeah. Yeah. I love that example. I think it's so true, though. And I think that's an example of kind of not taking things too seriously as well. Like, we have so many great luxuries around us that we just completely forget about all the time and we take for granted. And yeah, I mean, like you said, there's always going to be those stages where stuff is just not going well and it just sucks. But you have to realize that, A, it's really not that serious in the beginning. Most of the time, it's not that serious. And also, you know, there's so much more to it than that. You know, when something goes wrong, it's like the main focus of everything you're doing. And you just get completely engulfed in it. And it becomes like this little bubble you create around yourselves. And then once someone is like, oh, dude, don't worry about that, you know, or like you realize in your head, you're like, oh, that's actually not that big of an issue. You know, it's like it feels like you pop that bubble.
Usually when you're given enough time, it's like time plays an important role.
Yeah.
I think it's because the emotions that come with it, your body can't sustain them forever. So, you know, you have a good night's sleep, you get a bit more clarity, you have some fun with your friends, you know, you go skiing, connect.
You find that release somehow through whatever it is that you enjoy doing.
Yeah, it's almost like you got to work those emotions through your body.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to integrate them.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
But saying that, in that moment, it is almost impossible. And it was the best example I'd ever heard that Duncan gave, because I've had dreams where I've become lucid before. Accidentally, you just realize you're dreaming.
Yeah.
And there was a lot going on in the dream. I was fully invested in the narrative. Completely. Like, oh, I'm here. I've got to do this. This is important. We've got to get this on. It's a lot of serious stuff going on in some of the dreams that I have.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, wait, this is a dream. And there's just this big release and relaxation. And you're like, oh, I'm in control of all of this.
Yeah.
Like, this world is mine.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know how to manipulate everything in it, but I'm safe. I'm fine. Everything's okay. And man, imagine if you could do that, like, routinely in regular life.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the goal of meditation is to do that. It's so funny. I just thought of this example. When I was a kid and I I can't remember what house it was, but I had a TV in my room one time and I would watch, like I was like probably 10 or so, and I would try and watch like scary stuff because I'm like, oh, let's see what's on. And I would like scare the crap out of myself like in the middle of the night. And the thing that always brought me back, that would always like calm me down and help me realize that it, like, I'm fine. It, like, you know, when you're in a nightmare or something, I would just flip on QVC, you know, like the sales program or whatever, because for whatever reason that made me think of my grandma. And then like that, I don't know, that putting my mind in that particular place kind of relaxed me a lot.
Made you feel safe.
Yeah.
It made me feel safe. And want to buy Tupperware.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, whoa, dude, that's a great price right there.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
That is a good deal. Well, that's a very positive channel. So that's a smart move.
Yeah. No, and it just kind of made me, I guess in that moment, it made me realize like, oh, everything is still going to go on. Like all of my like kind of worries in that moment are just kind of superficial, and they're based on this artificial thing that I have in my mind, a delusion. And once you realize that, you can kind of work around the delusion.
Well, you're focusing too much on the narrative that you're creating, right, when you're scared. It's like reinforcing it. Every noise is scary.
Yeah.
When you're watching QVC and you haven't watched any horror movies at all, and you hear like a bang in the window, oh, that's the wind.
Yeah.
That's the nothing.
But when you're watching like Chainsaw Massacre, you're like, oh shit, they're coming for me.
The guy has a chainsaw.
Yeah.
Which is the most ridiculous thing you can ever imagine if you think about it. What, like, the chances of being attacked by somebody with a chainsaw, whatever's going on in the movie, is super unlikely anyway. And that it would coincide with the same point that you watch that movie.
Yeah. That's the odds of that are crazy.
But it doesn't matter.
No, really, that's how our brains are wired. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense though when you think about it from like an a biological perspective, because when you want your brain to be able to adapt to certain environments. So if you're in an environment that's high risk and you need to have your senses heightened, you know, your brain will switch to that, and every little thing, like you'll notice those little sounds or smell, like your just senses are heightened in that state.
And those good horror movies are supposed to take you there.
Yeah.
That's what they're supposed to do.
But it's also...
it's like hypnosis.
It's still, you know, you're playing a trick on your mind by doing that. You're not actually in that. Like when you're watching a horror movie, you're not in that movie at all. You're just watching it, you know.
Well, until they get VR ones.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's going to be
into
weird,
it we
man.
Can go.
Yeah.
That's an example of where Duncan would take that conversation for sure.
Yeah, I would love to hear what he would have to say about that. Another thing that they were kind of talking about in the show, and kind of goes back to what we were saying about like how letting go can kind of feel like death somehow, is they got into the conversation about grieving. And Duncan was talking about his mother. Like you said, I mean, he's so just able to open up about that, which is nice. I mean, because I can imagine there's a lot of people, like as you grow up, you know, you lose your parents and stuff. And so it's probably nice to be able to relate to that in some way. But it was an interesting conversation that they were talking about, like grief and death and all of that.
Well, she said, somebody told him it was like a window opening, right? Grieving. Mm-hmm. And the window's open, but it won't be open forever. And he's like, why can't I close it right now? This is a lot of pain. Like, and we often do that. It's like the really positive emotions, we're like, make this last forever. It will not. And in the same way, when we get really negative ones, we just want them to stop right away.
Yeah.
As well. And they feel like they will last forever as well. I mean.
Yeah. We just get so involved in what we're doing, and we get our emotions get so invested in all of it that we want it to either continue or we want it to end when it's not good.
I think it's just hard because when you're in a moment of kind of feeling any way, I often believe in that moment it will last forever.
Yeah, certainly feels that way.
It's what makes the good moment so much better.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh, this is going to be good all day.
Yeah. You're like, I will never die right now.
Right.
You know, like I'm on top of the world.
Such a great week. Like,
yeah.
Everything's good. And in the same way, when it's not good,
you're like, oh my God, everything is falling apart
forever.
And it feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like a temporary little thing.
One of the things that I loved that Duncan said was he was talking about, like his grieving with his mother, and he said as it's gone on, like, you know, in relation to that window, it's since closed and he's been able to deal with that. But he was like, there's often points where I will just like feel grief again, and he says he always welcomes that afterwards, you know, because he's been able to deal with that before. And
well,
so he doesn't avoid that in any way.
What that sounded like to me, which was kind of beautiful, is, you know, you always think, like, what is the highest plane of man that we can reach, you know? Or when you look at a mentor or somebody that really seems to have their life together, it's like, how do they get through these sorts of things? And I think that's – they're just really good at releasing the pressure valve slowly over time and always checking in on it without stuff building up that much. Obviously, you know, if you get a sudden death, that's very difficult to do. But in the same way that Duncan was talking about, he welcomes it, and sometimes he misses that grieving while it's gone. It's because he feels, or it sounded like he feels, he has control over this now.
Yeah.
He understands the terrain. He's been there, and it's like, it's okay for it to come back. And sometimes he worries that he's, you know, he kind of is not as connected to his mother when he doesn't have it. So he sees the positive value in that.
Yeah, and I think as well it kind of is a way for him to kind of connect with his mother again, at least emotionally. And so I think that you know, as you work through the hard parts, you know, eventually you can, with hopefully proper practice, you can come to enjoy that, you know, somewhat.
Yeah. Well, I think you probably focus less on how much you miss them and how your life isn't fulfilled.
Yeah.
And maybe just you think more about what they did for you
who they represented, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It takes time to get there, though.
It does.
Let's jump over to Joey's.
And yeah, we're going to go full 180.
Yep. And, well, there's some grieving in there, too.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
So the next episode that we're going to get into is Uncle Joey's Joint. This is episode 235 called Road Rage Was Invented in New Jersey, which is so funny. There's a... There's a short little clip that we saved from the him talking about his little incident.
A person is sitting there with their fucking Toyota, whatever the fuck it is, and waiting. Now, this person could have waited till he gone. But no, he stepped on it. He or she, God forbid, he stepped on it, cutting my friend off. Like, my friend was just fucking beating a light, and you want to pull out in front of him slowly, you dumb fuck. So now I see her, or him, go this way, and my friend Ken goes around. But now I'm stuck with her. I've been fucking, you know, I'm busting through that light, and now I slow it down. She wasn't even doing 40 or 30. She kept it like that for 5 minutes at like 20. And now the people behind me are beeping at me. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's not me. You know, I can't say anything. I'm just driving the fucking car. And I'm like, what the fuck is this lady doing? Or this man, whatever the fuck it is, because he had tinted windows. So finally, you know, 20 miles a fucking hour. I'm doing 22 behind her. It's definitely a 35 or a fucking 40. After 5 minutes, I get fucking fed up as shit. I got shit to do. I got to take a shit. I'm hungry. I got to meet somebody at 3. I fucking gunned that car. You know, it was legal to go around her. They had the one line, you know. I go around her. I'm doing like fucking... I just... She had me pinned for so fucking long that when I blew around her, I just had to get the fuck out. I'm like, this lady, I'm going to kill this dumb motherfucker. So I pull around and I just take the fuck off.
Joey. Nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I love... His podcast is cool, actually, because there's very few people who can just sit down by themselves and make a great podcast. Like Bill Burr, I would say, probably.
Bill does it well. Theo.
Theo does a good job, yep.
You know.
But that's a hard thing to do.
It's so difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it's... But he nails it, and I mean, it's so funny.
Road rage, though.
Yeah. I swear to God, I think New Jersey drivers are the worst. I have not personally driven in New Jersey, but I remember going there as a kid, and I was like, I couldn't believe this. And I grew up in South Florida, so the drivers there are awful. But I think the difference is the drivers in Florida are terrible at driving. The drivers in New Jersey are terrible at driving, and they're aggressive.
Yeah, that's the big
deal.
Like,
they think they know what they're doing, but they don't.
LA's like that, too.
Really?
You know, they want to... They're going to drive fast, and then they're going to flip you off, and it's a lot of that, a lot of horn honking.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
Do you get road rage?
I do, and I hate it because I don't know, man. It's so hard not to, though, because like someone will cut you off or something, and then I just feel this like rage just build inside of me, and I just, ugh.
Yeah, it's like we're in a heightened state of awareness. Yeah. Even though it seems very casual, and we do it all the time, I don't think that our brain forgets that we're traveling at 60 miles an hour in a vehicle that could plow through a house. And, you know, your life really is on the line, but you're used to it. You've practiced this a lot. I cannot remember the last time I got mad driving.
Well, you're not a very angry person in general. Like, I don't think I've ever seen you get mad ever.
Well, but I think that it was...
Wait, actually, you said you've never gotten mad while driving? That's bullshit.
Oh, no, I have. 100%. Oh, I can't remember the last time.
Oh, okay.
100%.
Last time I drove with you, you were getting mad.
Well, you know, there have been times. Like, when I was your age, of course, 100%. Like, I'm pretty sure I've, like, followed somebody before or done something stupid like, pull over. Being on 41 now.
Yeah.
So it's been... You know, I don't know, like 4 or 5 plus years of, other than just like talking shit, it doesn't emotionally really affect me. Like, it's funnier now. I'll be like, oh, this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
I will make a bigger show out of it when I'm driving with other people. Like, if someone else is in the car, I'll like go off just because I think it's funny.
Oh, I used to just go off on my own.
My favorite thing to do, too, is, like, wait for them to be on their phone or, like, distracted in some way, and they're, like, not paying attention, and then you just scream at the top of your lungs. Usually you can scare them.
You know what really hit me is I think it happened, like, 3 or 4 days in a row, and I was driving around, and I hadn't had my car because I didn't have a car in L.A. So... Then I get a car. I move to Bozeman. You know, you got to get a car.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm driving and I like kind of forgot how annoyed I get at other people, like everyone does. And I just said to myself, okay, right, you got two options here. You can't control anyone else driving and they're always going to do this shit. Or there's always going to be someone new doing this shit.
Some people just suck.
And I remember thinking, I wonder if I can just... kind of take a step back from it, you know, just be the observer of the events.
Yeah,
because I was just getting sick of getting annoyed because it was one of the bad winters here in Bozeman, and it was kind of like leading up, it's like leading up to what Joey went through. It's like that whole thing.
Yeah,
you know, someone speeds up on you and it's just like, I've got a lot to do.
Yeah.
I've got a lot to do. And I already feel a lot of emotions. I don't need to add to this.
Yeah.
And by taking that step back, I don't know if this will work for like other people, but it seemed to have worked for me.
One thing I
just got to step away from this frustration.
Yeah, it is kind of powerful. Like whenever someone does something that pisses you off when you're in your car, and then you're just like, you take a deep breath, and you're like, okay, not today. And you just move on. One thing I found is, depending on what music you play, I think that makes a big difference. Like, if you're listening, I've noticed, like, if I'm listening to, like, rap or something, like,
Rage Against
crazy,
the Machine.
Whatever it is, I'm so easily I'm going to flip my lid. But if I'm listening to, like, something more chill or slower or something.
That probably makes a big difference.
It chills me out a bit, yeah.
But, you know, to all those listening... that still have a lot of road rage and they're very frustrated, there probably is a system that you can employ that helps.
Yeah, every time you get upset at someone else driving, just go to the police and file a complaint, because that's as much of a waste of time as it is just yelling at someone else, like, honestly.
Yeah. Just yelp them.
Yeah.
If everyone had that sticker on the back, remember that sticker that was like, yeah. How's my driving?
Have you ever called one of those?
No.
I did one time because I was like, this guy's clearly drunk.
What was the deal?
It was like a delivery van. And the dude was like swerving everywhere. And I was like, this guy's going to kill somebody. So I called the, I don't think I called the number. I think I called the police and like reported a drunk driver.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
In Florida. I mean, it happens all the time.
Could happen.
I always get mad at people because, and I'm curious what you think about this because you lived in LA for a while. People love to complain about drivers up here. But honestly, I mean, they're not that bad. Like when the roads get bad in the winter, people sometimes go too fast and get in car accidents. But I feel like most people are pretty like okay here.
Well, because it's 9 months of winter. So you kind of have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't be a speed racer going down when everything's iced out.
They're probably worse in the summer when it comes to just being an asshole. In the winter, they're just being accidentally, whoops, I slipped off the road.
Yeah.
You know, it's like was not, they did not peel out into the intersection.
Yeah.
They just had the wrong tires.
The one thing that we have, I mean, I don't know, from Florida, it's probably not that big of a difference, but there's a lot of drunk drivers out here. I mean, so many.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you got to be careful of those guys.
Yeah, always. Well, the bit in this that really got me is when Joey was saying, oh, yeah, she was filming me.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That stuff is like, come what are you on. Doing?
Or like in the grocery store, you watch these clips. They're like, I'm recording. It's like, you look like an idiot, dude.
Yeah, where are you going to put like, that? What TikTok?
What are you going to do with that?
How much of an influencer are you?
Yeah.
But they feel like it's their kind of like protection.
Yeah.
But really what they're almost doing is escalating it to the next level.
Yeah,
like,
honestly.
They're almost telling, like, just saying straight up, oh, the police are coming. And they get to see this, and they
it's
get
pretty
to
much
decide.
The telltale sign that whoever it is crazy.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
If they pull out a gun or a camera, they're probably crazy.
It might be
if
true
if it's just road rage. Like honestly,
it might be true. What else was Joey talking about?
Well, the whole he kind of goes into this story about this chick that he fooled around with when he was like in the eighth grade, which was kind of funny. He was like talking about how he was like such a innocent little Catholic kid, and mm-hmm. he never like fooled around with anything. But yeah, he was. We can just play the clip. Actually, I think he'll explain it better.
Gone down there just to swap spit with her, maybe hang out with her. I was an only child. I was starting to explore women, girls, whatever the fuck I was doing. When she told me her mother died, my whole fucking everything just died. I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And she started explaining to me her mother died, blah, 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 blah. But the more she explained it, the more she was starting to scare me. Like, it was like an exorcist type fucking situation for me. Like, I couldn't even believe I was in the house. At that time, not only was I a real Catholic little nerd, but I was also a Santeria guy. And I'm like, if I'm in this house with this fucking energy that her fucking mother died, well, somebody in my life is going to fucking die. I'm like, I'm not going to hang out with this girl no more. I remember all I kept thinking about was, what can you have done in your previous life for your fucking mother to die? That's all I kept thinking about.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that clip sounds harsh.
It does.
But the rest of the podcast is him explaining the guilt that he feels about it. I mean, he was young then.
Yeah,
he
and
didn't
he also
know.
He didn't have a dad.
Yeah.
So, you know, that obviously probably had a big impact on at least where his mind is. And it's so hard. Like, when you're in eighth grade, your brain is all over the place. Like, your hormones and stuff, like, especially with any kind of relationship, like, it could go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, he saw something that scared him.
Yeah.
And he needed to take a step back. And if something's scary enough, you probably should take a step back, even if later when you're more mature and you have a lot more life experience, you realize that something else could have been done.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're not supposed to know then. But it was really interesting how, I mean, Joey being Joey, he's like, he apologized to, what was it, his uncle who he held a gun on.
Yeah. The
and
dude he
the
kidnapped.
Person he kidnapped.
Yeah.
And Joey's had a wild life.
You
know, and he's apologized a lot, but to this person, it still is like so deeply emotional that he's struggling to do it, but it sounds like he wants to. I mean, this is a big start.
I think he will, yeah.
There's no way she's not going to hear this
podcast. I was going to say, yeah, like, what happens when she hears it? I mean, I would imagine that that would make them reach out. But it sounded like towards the end of it that he was going to reach out. Because you can hear in his voice, like when he talks about how he never apologized to her, he's like, it just messed me up so much. And it, I mean, for someone like Joey, all the stuff that he's gone through, for him to not deal with something like that emotionally is like, that's a pretty big, like you can tell it had a big impact on him.
It's weighing on him.
Yeah.
Definitely. And to be able to do it with such an hilarious conversation and podcast too, like he can slip in and out of like deeply serious, highly emotional, and then just go right back to whatever, cocksucker.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such a smooth
gift.
Transition.
People like that are awesome though, because I mean, I've never met Joey Diaz, obviously, but I know people who are, they have the amazing gift of being able to like switch any bad scenario into something to laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are awesome.
I mean, what a brilliant coping strategy for
like
a very difficult life. I mean, he found his mother dead, I think in the kitchen, while he was on acid.
That's
and
insane.
Then had to deal with the police and go through that whole thing.
All the paperwork and stuff. And yeah. And then he says when he finally was done with all the paperwork and all the police nonsense for all of it, and he had like a moment to stop and think, this person came back to his mind in that moment. And
it was
like a big thing where he was like, oh, shit.
You know?
I can't imagine what that's like. That's got to be insane.
It's like a double whammy if that's not hard enough.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard to think about. And I think that that's one of those scenarios that you really like, you can't put that into words in any way. Like that's just so hard to imagine.
So you're either going to sit around forever feeling terrible, or you're going to do some wild stuff like Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
And then become, you know, in some ways one of the greatest comedians of all time. And this is important to understand too. Joey doesn't have a special that you would watch and be like, oh, that's one
God
of the goats.
Tier comedian work.
Yeah, though he has some great work out there. And most of the best stuff he's done is podcasts.
Podcast clips, yeah. Yep. When he's just like off the fly, just clips. Being himself. Yeah, because
clips on Rogan early on are a good example of the types of rants that he'd go on.
Oh, they're amazing.
But to be clear, I've seen this person at the Comedy Store many, many times, maybe a dozen times. Between 2016 and 2020, I mean, there were so many killers all the time that you just... And I have never seen anybody turn a room into people losing control of their bodily functions, almost.
That's what I've heard about him.
Oh, it's
That's
unbelievable.
What
and
him.
What's great about it is when he starts off, because he comes out with some good energy, but he'd just start off in like... There's always people in the audience that are like, okay, what's this guy about?
Yeah.
You know, or some guy brings, you know, his girlfriend for the first time, who probably it's their date and she's not massively into stand-up and is just trying to, like, gauge what's going on. Maybe she's been chuckling at a few comedians here and there.
Yeah.
But once he just starts ranting, I mean, really going. I mean, Joey has a knack for being able to say the most outrageous stuff you've ever heard, things that you would assume nobody could ever say.
Yeah.
But nobody leaves going, well, that was just unacceptable.
Yeah. I'm offended. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not at all.
He's immune to it.
Because the laughter is so...
He's immune to it. Yeah. He does it in such a beautiful way that you just can't get upset at him.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best at that.
Yeah.
Definitely. But like you said, I mean, it's hard for him to do like a special because it's like scripted and written and you have to practice it and like it's all this stuff. He's just, I think as far as, I mean, I don't know, there's a difference between a comedian and then a funny person. You know what I mean? Like to do comedy is like a skill and an art, definitely. But there's a lot of parameters to it. You have to like practice it. It's an actual, you know, it's an actual profession, and you know, you have to know what you're doing. But I mean, just being funny is just your personality. You know, like, you don't have to think about that at all. And well, that's what he does the best out of anybody.
He definitely does. But don't get me wrong. His specials are still...
His comedy is still great.
It's still quality. It's just... I guess this kind of sounds a bit disingenuous, like his specials aren't good. I don't mean
they're
that
not,
at all.
They're not. It's
but
not
when
not
you've
good.
Seen the magic that he does, it's like capturing lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
It's just these moments that he hits on stage that crush. And a lot of it seems like you need to be in the presence of it, almost.
Oh, yeah. I bet seeing him live is unreal. It's got to be unreal. But, I mean, I love... The little podcast clips, I mean, even on his show, like, there's always going to, like, he's always going to make you laugh. Like, talk about people who I go to for comfort, you know, when, like, shit's not going well and I'm just like, fuck, I just need a laugh. I'll play some Joey Diaz because mm-hmm. it just always puts me in a good mood.
Oh, dude, back in the day when he used to get his producer so high, he couldn't even do his job. Hell, have you seen videos about that?
Yes.
I mean, it is, like, you give him, what do they call it? It's like, The
stars of death.
Yeah, stars of death. It's like 250 milligrams. He'd give him one.
And
Joey
then he'd
would
pop
do,
like two as a, like a mint.
Yeah, Joey would do two and just be like, yeah, of course I'm scared, cocksucker.
Yeah.
And then he would just still ramble and like make a brilliant podcast. And they would keep going back to his producer whose eyes are closed. He's leaning back. He doesn't know which way is up. He's like basically not doing his job anymore.
Yeah.
But it's almost like a rite of passage with Joey.
It's so funny. It's like Snoop Dogg, you know? It's like if you're getting high, you're gonna get high as fuck if you're hanging out with Snoop Dogg or mm-hmm. Joey Diaz. Like it's just a guarantee. But that's part of the fun, and it's so funny too because he'll get high, and you can tell that he's definitely like super stoned. But he still just is the most hilarious person, and he plays into that so wonderfully. Like he doesn't lose any of his edge at all.
So true. You know what I think we should do for this one too? So people listening, like in the bio, we have obviously links to these podcasts, but we'll put in a couple of our favorite. Duncan Trussell and Joey Diaz moments because you may be new to both of them and them kind of like really hitting the highs of what they're capable of so that you can be I don't know if you like them then you're more into the pod itself
exactly
or
into
the person
we'll put some good clips in there
nice. Well, I think that's it for this week.
That's all we've got for you guys. Hopefully, you guys liked this format of doing two shows. We'll probably do this again. It's just hard doing because each one of these podcasts is like an hour long. So to like cover an hour long podcast, and so it just makes sense if you do two.
Well, here's what's important is we're trying to bring you the best conversations from the best podcasters out there as often as we can. And there's so many. That I think it's important to kind of do it this way. Let us know what you think.
Have a good one, guys.
Later.